From the studios of the Living on Earth Network in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth Today. It may surprise some, but women explorers are not a modern phenomenon. For centuries, women have left what was familiar to embark on voyages of discovery. Often these women went beyond the mores of their society and, in the face of formidable challenges, helped to expand the world's body of knowledge. Most of these women have remained unknown, and no small number died alone or forgotten. As author Milbrey Polk writes, to go beyond the narrow perimeters set by culture was usually to become an outlaw, literally to be cast out by society to die. Milbrey Polk is herself an explorer, and she's written a new book called Women of Discovery, Celebration of Intrepid Women Who Explored the World. She hopes to bring some of these women out of obscurity. Milbrey Polk joined me in the studios of Living on Earth. How do you define exploration, and has your definition of exploration evolved over the span of writing this book?
It certainly did evolve, and in fact, we had to create our own definition. Otherwise, we would have been swamped with people to include, so we had to be pretty tightly controlled, although we did break our own rules many times. But for me, growing up, I read a lot of books about explorers, and often people think of an explorer as somebody who's hacking his way through a jungle or trudging up a mountain or planting a flag on a distant shore. That, to me, is like super athletics. That's not exploration. Exploration is being curious about the world, having an open mind, having a lot of courage, and taking a risk. And by taking a risk, it's not, do I jump across this chasm? It's holding uncommon ideas. Even if everybody else thinks that you're wrong or silly or whatever, you know in your heart that you're right and you persevere. The most important criteria for an explorer is to communicate. All of these women in our book left a record of what they did. Because if you don't communicate it, whether writing or painting or photographing or however you document your discovery, it means nothing. So for us, explorers were people that were knowledgeable, they were curious, they were risk takers, and they were communicators. And they opened new vistas for the rest of us. They made bridges between disparate worlds.
Let's talk about a 20th century American explorer. Zora Hurston was an African American who started out life as a maid in the segregated rural South. Eventually, she becomes an anthropologist and a folklorist, and she travels to Haiti in 1936 to study her passion, which was voodoo, and she seems to have done a bit more than just observe.
Yes, Zora Neale Hurston is best remembered today as one of the literary figures in the Harlem Renaissance, and she did quite a lot of writing. Some of it has now just been reissued, but I was very surprised when I was doing the reading for this book to find a mention of her in a discussion about Franz Boas and the early days of anthropology. And she actually began her life as an anthropologist. And she was sent by Boas down to the American South to collect folklore and folk tales. One of the pictures we have of her in the book is paddling through a swamp on her way to some backwoods places to collect their stories. And in the course of this, she became fascinated with the practice of voodoo, beginning in the American South and then New Orleans, and then she began tracing it back further and further. She wanted to find the place where it had the most African elements, and she ended up in Haiti, and she actually took the very first picture of a zombie, which we've included in the book. And it wasn't until the 1980s that Wade Davis was actually able to go down there and discover that it's the toxin of the pufferfish that causes a person's vital signs to be suppressed, and then they're buried, and then all the things happen. But she, I think, had quite an amazing experience and was really quite frightened by what she was finding. Again, she was alone, unsupported, in a very different world from the one that she came from, and she eventually went back and became a writer. She ended up her life as a maid and then living in a poorhouse in Florida. And when she died, all of her belongings were gathered and they were being burned by the side of the road. A policeman stopped and said, "Where's the permit for burning this?" Which, of course, the people didn't have. And that's the only reason that saved what there is today of her. Now there are a number of people that are trying to work in keeping her legacy.
women have come very far in the sciences and other fields in the past few decades. I mean, indeed, in some fields now, women make up the majority in some scientific fields. So are women explorers now operating on a level playing field?
I'm asked this everywhere I go, and unfortunately, no. There are many, many more opportunities now, but it's still extremely difficult. And many women, while they may be admitted, you can study geology now, for instance, which was closed up until really quite recently. It's still hard to get the funding or to get the senior positions, and you can really count the numbers of women that have gone very far. And I'm hoping that a book like this will open up everybody's minds to the fact that women have been contributing and are contributing enormously, and that they should be accorded the equal celebration and financial rewards and positions as their male counterparts.
It has occurred to me to make a collection of all the subtle poisons that Negroes know how to locate among the bush, and in the use of which they are so expert. No one outside the hoodoo or bush doctors know these things. But as I am learning day by day, more and more I think that I will be doing medical science a great service to identify these weeds so that antidotes can be prepared. The greatest power of voodoo rests upon this knowledge. Some of these bushes are quite marvelous. One of them I know will kill by being placed so that the wind will blow from it to the victim. Another can be rubbed on the clothing and enters through the pores as soon as the victim sweats.
You can hear Living on Earth on National Public Radio and the World Radio Network. To find a member station near you, go to www.loe.org or www.npr.org. This is Living on Earth Today.